We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim. Welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. So we'll talk about the big football game coming up this week against the USC Trojans. A little bit later on, we'll hear from Chase Garbers as a Southern California native goes against USC. 8 o'clock, we'll be on the air with the Toyota Tailgate Show beginning at 7 o'clock. The Bears against the USC Trojans. And a reminder, Cal Athletics is happy to announce the introduction of the California Golden Bears app. In that app, you can add your season tickets, we're talking basketball now, to your mobile wallet, as well as purchase additional tickets, resell, or transfer your tickets to a friend. The app is available now at both Google Play and the Apple Store. Joining us now, first of all, is head coach Justin Wilcox. Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it. Before we talk about USC, we'll look in the rearview mirror very, very briefly. USC-UCLA game, when you looked at that one and how it turned out, what stood out the most to you?
Well, disappointing game for us. I got to give credit to UCLA. They played very well. We, really, in all phases, didn't give ourselves a chance to win other than maybe the kickoff return unit. We had a couple of good plays there, but, you know, defensively, we struggled with their speed, the quarterback, their run game, the fly sweeps, the perimeter plays, really, we struggled with, and we didn't tackle as well. Now, granted, some of that's because the guys that are running it are very, very talented. So you got to give those guys credit. And so, even when we got them in some third down and longers, we just struggled to get off the field, which are key, you know, and in moments like that and in games like that, you got to get your offensive ball back. And then offensively, hard, really tough sledding. We had one really good sustained drive, but other than that, hard for us to stay in rhythm. We expected to play better really in all phases, but we had a hard time staying in rhythm. We didn't make near as many contested plays as we had in weeks prior. And that's on us, and we got to help them as coaches, and our players got to, make some of those plays. And then they also made it hard on us. And so combination of things. And so it was disappointing. UCLA is a very good team, and probably in my opinion, the best team we've played thus far, and we didn't do enough really in any phase to give ourselves a chance to win that game. So we got to be better, starting with, as always, with me and the coaching staff, making sure we're helping our guys as best we can. And then got a rebound and got a big one this week against SC.
It is a big game against USC. A disappointment, you know, one of the carrots that's always out there throughout the course of the year is, you know, possible bowl game, that's gone. But there is plenty of motivation this week. First of all, you got senior day. You know, we didn't know we were going to have senior day 2.5 weeks ago, but we will have senior day. So an opportunity for everybody to come out and honor the seniors that have put in, whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5, or in some cases 6 years with the Bears. So that's important. Joe Roth Memorial game, that's always big when a Southern California team comes up as well. And you just want to, you want to finish on a positive note too, you know, to go into next year, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot to play for. As you mentioned, our players feel the same. You know, obviously they're disappointed, like we all are, about the bowl game situation. However, these guys are prideful. They take their craft very seriously. They care a great deal about their performance. They care a great deal about their teammates and representing Cal. And they also, you know, a lot of them are from Southern California, and, you know, playing USC for them, I know, is a big deal. And so we know that SC is going to come up with a very talented team and compete hard. They got a lot to play for as well, for a lot of reasons. And so we expect their best game, and our guys came out to practice yesterday and competed. And, you know, again, the disappointment you can't deny. However, it wasn't like guys were walking around and deciding whether they're going to play or not. They were out there competing and practicing hard, and like they would expect, and like we would expect from them.
Yeah, I mean, for the USC players, in some regards, for them, it's an audition. I mean, they're going to have a new coach. In fact, you've already got four teams you're going to play this year that have new coaches. So that's another topic we can talk about a little bit. But they're auditioning in some respects for Lincoln Riley, who was hired, for what they can do and what they can show. So, you know, that's probably part of their motivation, I would think, this week as well.
Absolutely, it is. We talked about that as a staff. So, you know, not only their players, but their coaches. I mean, again, they have pride, and they are also, it's their first chance for a new regime to show what they can do. So we fully expect their best effort. And, you know, SC is a very talented roster. There's no denying that. They've recruited very well for the last 4 years, and they've scored points, and they got talented defenders. So it'll be a battle.
Yeah, this is going to be the second time this year, maybe the third time, that you faced the number one offense in the league on the date in which you're playing them, USC, in total yards, not in points. They're averaging 30 points, which is about fourth or fifth in the league. But they've got the most yards, and they've got the air raid system. How does what Graham Harrell doing, his system, compare to some of the other air raid, you know, branches of the tree, compared to other ones that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the semantics. It's grouping people by, you know, without maybe the detail. You know, when you say air raid, we all assume it's, well, four wides and they throw it every play. Well, that's not necessarily the case, you know, because Coach Leach's air raid looks different than this one. And so does Rolo's, you know, his air raid looks different than SC's. And so there's certain elements that may cross over, but these guys, there's a lot of variety. They do run the football. You know, the screen game is effective for them. The QBs and then the talent, you know, throwing crossing routes to guys that are really fast, and, you know, throwing the deep balls to guys that can go. And the run game is, as I mentioned, the run game's a big piece of it, and they've ran the ball well. So, you know, some of those air raids, you could line up and you could have three safeties deep and they still wouldn't run it. They'd still throw it. Now these guys won't do that. You know, they'll run the ball, throw the screens as an extension of the run game. They do a really good job.
Have they changed? Well, obviously they had to spread the ball around more now that Drake London was injured in game number 8. And we were saying at the time, he's probably as good a player at his position as any other player at his position in our league. I mean, he was a dominating guy. He had 88 catches. He was averaging 11 receptions. That doesn't even factor in targets per game. So he was kind of the one man they looked to all the time. How have they changed with him out of the lineup?
Well, he's, as you mentioned, as good as any receiver out there. And losing him, you know, hurts. But, again, it's not like they're cupboard is bare. I mean, the guys that step in look the part and they still throw and catch, and the QBs are, it's a very talented QB room. And it's a very talented receiver room. And so, yeah, again, he is a elite player. He's a high NFL draft pick. So nobody wants to lose somebody like that. But again, it's not like they're walking a guy out there who can't do anything. I mean, the next guy is very talented as well.
Well, that's, and you mentioned their quarterback room. That's the case there. Kadon Slovis entered the season as a Heisman Trophy candidate and did not get off to a good start. Now they have Jackson Dart. They've kind of gone back and forth in some games. I mean, do they have very similar skill sets as far as throwing the ball and in the pocket and moving around?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the two thing. The thing in common is they can both sling it. I mean, both those guys can throw the football. And they have the different styles. One guy's, you know, one guy's more experienced. The other guy's not. You know, that maybe how they move's a little bit different, but they both can throw the football and both are proven passers that can move, get the offense up and down the field. Yeah.
The one head scratcher, or one of them, I guess I should say, on a team that's 4-7 coming into our game for them is defensively, they're last in the league. I mean, when you look at the people they recruit over the years, that's shocking to a lot of people. But what is it? I mean, Oregon State just ran it and ran it and ran it, and other guys have been able to throw it and throw it and throw it. What has been the thing that you've seen on tape?
Well, what we look at is the ability of the players and the structure of the scheme. And, yeah, they've given up some plays for whatever reason, and I don't – you know, I'm not going to pretend to coach their defense. We got our own issues to work on. But the ability of the players is evident, and then the structure – is there. It's, you know, it's not like there's some defense where there's just nobody on one side of the field or they're busting every time so we don't perceive it as, you know, this group that just isn't talented and doesn't know what they're doing. It doesn't look like that at all. You know, the stats kind of are what they are, and I'm sure there's things that have happened that they would like to fix. But as I mentioned, we have our own issues and we know what kind of talent they have, and they got good coaches too. Those guys know what they're doing.
You talked and you have talked all year long about an offense getting in a rhythm, and a defense wants to get an offense out of a rhythm. What's it take to get in a rhythm?
Yeah. Positive plays, you know, positive runs. You know, we kind of look at run efficiency. Are you, you know, 4 yards or more on first down? Are you getting half on second down? Are you getting the third down on a run? And then completions, you know, really looking at how many completions we can get. And we track the number of runs and the number of completions we get in a game. And I think it's all about, moving the ball forward. And I know that's oversimplifying, but when you stay in one spot or go backwards, it makes offense very hard.
Yeah, then no question about it. Also the Joe Roth Memorial game as well. I think we've all probably read the books and seen the movies and so forth, an inspirational figure in Cal football history. How much do you talk about him this week?
Yeah, we will talk about the Joe Roth game with the team. You know, he has a locker. He's got we have in our football office here. You've seen it, Todd. There's a tribute to Joe. And, you know, the player that he was, I mean, that's impressive. But it's not just obviously that. It's the courage and the humility to do what he did in some just unthinkable circumstances. And so that sticks with all of us. And it's, we're honored to be able to celebrate Joe and who he was. And I hope that all of us coaches, players, and Cal fans and alumni can learn a little something and take a little piece of that with us each and every time we have a chance to honor Joe Roth.
Talking about another quarterback, Nate Longshore was at the game on the sidelines. He's coaching at UNLV. You'll see them next year. And I was asking him how things were going. He says, well, it's busy. We had a game last night, which was Friday night. And then he said, tomorrow night, Sunday night, recruiting, in-home visits. Now, you're playing a game this week. How do you, balance? I mean, because there are teams that are playing games this week. You get championship games and so forth. So how do you kind of get that jump start on that this week?
Yeah, it is a unique scenario because you only get a couple weeks on the road in December before signing day. And so each and every day is very, you know, is valuable. So we talked to the NCAA and filed a waiver to try and get people out on the road because the coaches need to be here coaching the game, preparing our players so we can play the game Saturday. We did a couple visits Sunday night where we kind of worked all day and then did a visit in the evening. And then we have a member of our staff who's been allowed after filing the waiver to go, one person to go out and visit our committed recruits. And so not a coaching staff member. And that's why we had to file the waiver because the coaches are here. We need to help our players prepare and play our best on Saturday. So we, that's kind of the route we've gone. And it, yeah, it's unique. And it's, is it ideal to be off the road during a week of recruiting? No, but you know, it's, we're making the best of it, and we got a great team around us to help us through that.
Speaking of recruiting, we hear so much about the transfer portal. How much of a factor will that be in recruiting this year? Because, quite frankly, you could have guys in the transfer portal that you don't get a commitment from until maybe the, just before fall camp, I guess, right?
Yeah, it is. The transfer portal really is changing the recruiting dynamic and how your roster is structured. We, you know, it's a part of everybody's reality now, and that there are players on your team who are going to go into the transfer portal, and there are players out there who can help your team in the transfer portal, and then it's finding the right fit. And we are going to be, we actively monitor it and evaluate everybody that goes in every single day. And there are certain positions that, you know, we would look actively to supplement through the transfer portal. There's no doubt we'll be looking at people in that market. And I think there's some guys out there. The difference is you've seen them a lot of times, not a lot, but sometimes you've seen them play college football. So you know kind of where they are in their development. Then you can do the homework on who they are as people, where they fit academically. But it's a big part of what's going on right now in college football. And we are we're in the middle of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be hair-raising in some regards because, I mean, you have – I mean, your basic philosophy is to get high school players and develop them, okay? That's kind of what you want to do. And then there's the next phase is maybe junior college guys. That was always the next phase to fill in your roster. And now it's like, I mean, we could lose a guy in May and have to, you know, fill in a particular spot. So, I mean, it's crazy out there.
Yeah, the roster management has changed. With the transfer portal, because it's, you know, at any moment, people can make a decision. And now there's certain times of the year, postseason, post regular season, you know, after spring, those are kind of the heavy transfer portal times. But yeah, and then having the ability to get somebody in. And, you know, I kind of go back to like, you know, our deal here is, we want to make this a really good place to be. And there's guys that are going to go in the transfer portal that it's what it's for. And we wish them well, and we want to help them. And if it's better for them to play somewhere else, then we want to help them do that. But I also think our guys do a good job of our coaches and our players alike, creating an environment where guys enjoy being here. And, you know, maybe a guy is second string, but really likes his teammates and what we're doing, he's getting a great education and he's going to have a chance to play here at Cal. And, you know, he's not disgruntled just because he maybe not quite on the top of the depth chart yet. So I think it's kind of goes back to recruiting the right type of people as well, but also acknowledging that there's going to be movement on your roster due to the transfer portal.
Mike Montgomery, the Hall of Fame basketball coach, once told me there are three key areas that in recruiting that you have to identify as to whether or not a player wants to or should be at your school. One is the actual sport itself. Do you like to play football? Do you like to play basketball? Two, academics. You know, do they have what you want? And third was like family / girlfriend was he thought. And you had to have two of those. You had to have two out of the three of those to get somebody to come to your school and stay at your school. And I don't know what order that he would put as far as those three are concerned, but he said those are the three key areas that you had to have to get a recruit and to keep a recruit on campus. Any particular areas you want to fill in for next year as far as either recruiting or the portal?
Yeah, we are looking really at everybody. We wouldn't turn away a person that can help our team who fits in here at any position. I would say there's some positions where maybe we're a little thinner than others. And, you know, those are places where we might be a little, we might look at multiple candidates. And so I don't, you know, again, things change, you know, and the dynamic changes, because even from the beginning of the season, if you see some of these younger players who've kind of come along, whether it's, you know, the Femis and the Nate Richenas at inside linebacker, or, you know, Lou Hearns, what he's done at corner, some of these young wideouts, young D linemen. So, you know, that shapes how you view the roster as well. So we're kind of constantly monitoring how our guys are doing and, all right, where can we really make some headway, whether it's recruiting and or the transfer portal. So
obviously you have a conversation at the end of the year with all of your players to kind of get a feel of where they're going, what they want to do, et cetera. Do you have any idea numbers-wise what your recruiting class, whether it's in the fall, the early signing period, and what's become the secondary period in February you would sign?
Well, yeah, it's going to be a little smaller. And also, Todd, there's a few guys who will have some decisions to make after this weekend, who are seniors, but also have eligibility remaining. And we've had some initial conversations with those guys, but they've been so focused on, you know, playing the season and kind of finishing out and focusing on football and school. But we have had some of those conversations. And I think there's guys that'll have some decisions to make, whether they want to, you know, move on and pursue professional football, or whether they think maybe another year here at Cal would benefit them and us. And so we'll be having those discussions here after this weekend and next week and beyond.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of talk. It's just it's a very intriguing time of the year. It's almost, in a lot of regards, it's almost as exciting as just before the season starts, because there's just so much that goes on with coaching changes and transfers and this, that, and the other. So there'll be a lot of news, I'm sure, coming up in the next couple of weeks. Coach, we appreciate your time being with us today on the podcast. We'll talk to you prior to the game against USC on Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Go Bears.
Our head coach, Justin Wilcox, the Bears and the USC Trojans, will be on the air with the Tailgate Show beginning at 7 o'clock and the kickoff shortly after 8 p.m.
Joining us now is a 50-year senior quarterback, Chase Garbers. The Bears against USC on Saturday, senior day. 28 seniors will be honored. Chase, among those, do you have any special thoughts as you get ready to head down the tunnel for the final time, Chase?
I mean, what a journey it's been. I still have the option to come back, you know, for another year. So I'll be weighing that after this game. But I think just, you know, being able to, you know, play 4 years, you know, be here for five with, you know, a solid group of guys and, you know, just be able to play one last game with them and, you know, send the seniors off right, will definitely be, you know, a special moment for us all.
I was talking to Luke Beckett. We're having him on the pregame show prior to the game on Saturday. And of course, you know, he's been around like seemingly forever, but we were talking about, in your case, this group of seniors and maybe even juniors as well. You've probably gone through more in the last year and a half than maybe any other group of seniors since, you know, maybe the late 60s or something like that. I mean, can you talk about what it has been like for you and your teammates for the last year and a half with all the things that have gone on?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been challenging, but I think that's, you know, the group we are as seniors and as veteran leaders of the team. I mean, just being able to handle, you know, whatever's thrown our way. And as Coach Wilcox likes to say, keep our knees bent. I think we've done a really good job of that, you know, over the past year and a half, 2 years. I think that just shows to the kind of people we are, the kind of guys in the locker room that we have at Cal and, you know, the type of culture Coach Wilcox brings.
What was the low point during that period of time?
I mean, probably in 2020, obviously, when we couldn't be around each other and, you know, it was a struggle to even practice. I think, you know, we're doing what we love, playing football, and just, you know, when we weren't able to, and, you know, times were tough, that was probably one of the lower points in our careers here.
Yeah, no question about that. And you're pretty vocal this year, I've noticed, on Twitter and other social medias. Is that something that you felt compelled to be more vocal, whether it was at the beginning of the year and just talking about upcoming practices or what happened like the week of Arizona and so forth? you know, as a senior and as the senior quarterback, did you feel compelled, or is it just something you really wanted to do?
I wouldn't say compelled. I think I definitely, you know, grown into that role, you know, being a senior quarterback on this team for 4 years, a leader, you know, for numerous years as well. I feel like, you know, whether it's, you know, just advocating for regular stuff or even, you know, with the whole COVID thing this year, you know, I felt as leader of the team, you know, with probably, you know, the biggest social media platform on the team, I felt that if I were to say something, it'd be heard the most. And, you know, it definitely was. I think it just kind of came with the territory of being a senior veteran quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely took a step forward and you said a lot of great things. And I think a lot of people have responded positively to what you've been saying as well. So congratulations on doing that. And this has been, I mean, statistically, at least it's been your best year as far as, you know, running with the football, completions, touchdowns. I mean, how would you sum up this year to date with one game to play?
I mean, obviously we're not where we want to be as a team. You know, that's the unfortunate part, but that's, you know, why you play each and every game. You know, you never know the outcome until it's over. But you know, I've definitely, you know, gotten better each and every year. And I, you know, I've been making that a focal point of my development is to each and every year get better in, you know, all aspects of the game. I think I've done that in my career at Cal. And I think, you know, just one last game with this senior class, with this team, I think, you know, it'd be very special to go out and get a W against USC.
Yeah, no matter what happens in the game against USC or, you know, whether you come back or not next year, you are the number one leader in quarterback rushing yards and in touchdowns as well. You know, Joe, I mean, you surpassed a Cal legend, Joe Capp, when it came down to, you know, the total number of yards rushing by a quarterback. Have you had a chance to kind of soak any of that stuff in?
Not really a chance. I mean, the other quarterbacks in the quarterback room joke about it, you know, every now and then. But I think if you would have asked me out of high school that I would have been, you know, a leading rusher, the leading rusher at Cal for a quarterback and touchdowns, I would have told you were crazy. But, you know, that's just kind of where the position's going. It's what the team needs. You know, I'm a big team guy. So, you know, if I got to go do stuff with my legs, I'm more than willing to.
You know, what's interesting, Chase, is that, you know, times evolve and offenses have certainly changed over the years. I mean, when Joe Capp played, you know, the quarterback running the ball was a big deal. And he was really one of the best at it, whether it was at Cal or in the National Football League or wherever he was at with the Vikings. But you look at the number of rushing touchdowns and yards, and you get a certain system in here, and that could go away in like a year and a half. So you got the record for now, and hopefully you'll keep it for quite some time. But records, as they say, are made to be broken. Hopefully yours will last for quite a while. And you're also up there in passing touchdowns, which is impressive as well. You're tied with Kevin Riley, and you just need one more, and you're tied with Nate Longshore and Troy Taylor for fourth on the all-time list. Nate was at the game on Saturday down at UCLA. He looks like maybe an offensive lineman or a defensive end right now, but I remember when he was playing, he could really sling. And Troy, of course, you know, for years he had the total offense record that Jared Goff passed up. But, you know, two of the all-time best, I think, in Cal history. Now, I want to go back. Let's go back memory lane a little bit here. And some of the highlights, you know, some of the games. When I look at some of the games that you were involved in as the winning quarterback, I mean, I think of, like, the Ole Miss game, you know, one of the best games you've played. You're one of the few Cal quarterbacks in history that's won two big games against Stanford. You've been able to beat USC at USC. You beat Oregon. You know, they were the Pac-12 champs. You won at Washington. But what one or two games maybe stands out for you?
Well, obviously, probably the biggest game that stands out is the 2019 big game. 2021 this year is right up there with it. Like you said, you know, I've been a part of some memorable games here at Cal that, you know, will, you know, go down some of the better games in Cal history, I believe. And, you know, whether it's beating Oregon, USC, Washington, Stanford, obviously, Ole Miss, you know, going down to SEC country and getting a win out there. But I would say the two big games, 2019, 2021, and then also, you know, being a Southern California guy going down to the Coliseum in 2018 and have a nice second half comeback against USC and coming out there victorious is definitely up there for me.
Yeah, we're talking to Luke about that this week. He had the big fumble recovery late in that first half when the Trojans were driving for a third touchdown. But the other thing I remember about that game you. Yeah, I mean, you ran like 80 yards for a huge gain. Unfortunately, it was called back. I mean, do you remember that one?
Oh, I do. I do. And Coach Musgrave jokes about it sometimes, you know, in the QB room. But it was very unfortunate. It got called back. It was a long, long jog back to our to our own 10-yard line after the holding call was settled. But, you know, it was definitely an exciting run for sure. Definitely hit one of my top speeds, I think, ever in my career on that run, and just trying to score. But it was an unfortunate outcome with the holding penalty. But, you know, we were happy to get the win.
Well, there've been a lot of great sprinters at the Coliseum. Of course, they had a couple Olympic games there, and you looked pretty darn fast out running that USC secondary. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, it came back, feeling, you know, at the game. It had been the Bears had won at the Coliseum, and part of the final was that game.
Well, I think, you know, being able to get a win at the Coliseum, and I think, you know, like you said, it was the first win down there in a while. I think. Just overall, sorry about that.
No problem.
Just overall, the experience, and, you know, I believe that win made us bowl eligible, so we had that going for us too. But it was just to go back down to LA in front of, you know, friends and family as a redshirt freshman and get a win against a very talented USC team was special.
Well, you got an opportunity to again beat a rival for the second time this week against USC. What can you tell us about the USC defense, which at times has struggled this year, but is still very talented?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I mean, they're very talented, obviously, you know, playing USC, they're going to have the top talent in the country. You know, I think what they do is specific to their personnel. You know, they got some talent up front, talent in the secondary. You know, they're primarily a nickel team. So you'll see five DBs on the field, you know, for the majority of the game. Obviously in certain situations, they could change that personnel up, but you know, kind of like what USC has done for a while now is a lot of man coverage in the back end. And I think, you know, it's a great matchup for our team, you know, being able to use multiple, you know, personnel groupings against their, you know, single nickel personnel. I think, you know, is definitely advantageous to us, and, you know, we're excited to play them on Saturday.
Yeah, I want to go back to the senior day. You've been a roommate with Mike Sofell for a couple of years, and he's now like, it's kind of like a graduate assistant or something like that. But he's on the sidelines all the time, and now he's back involved in football as kind of a coach. Although he was a coach in the Arizona game when we didn't have all our coaches. What's this guy like as a coach? I mean, he was great as a player. He just seems to be he's actually calmer now on the sidelines, it seems, because he's a coach than he was as a player.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Sofell, obviously he seems a little bit more calm because he doesn't have to block 300-pound linemen every now and then. But he's done a great job. You know, he's really embraced the coaching role. And, you know, having Mike on the sidelines and Jenel is also up in the booth, you know, as a student graduate coach or whatever you want to call it as well. I mean, having both those guys, you know, back involved with the program, I mean, you know, they had to medically retire, which was definitely a tough decision for them and definitely hurt the program a little bit, but having them, you know, around, especially Mike, you know, is truly special. You know, we're so grateful to have those guys, you know, back around the offensive line and us players. And I think, you know, if they want to get into coaching or not, I think the future is bright for both of them.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you there. And one final note here, and I don't want to end on a Debbie Downer, so to speak, but also part of the festivities on Saturday is that Bud Dog Turner is going to be honored, a guy that was he just bled the blue and gold, died at the age of 84 back in September of 2020. So it's been over a year, but we really couldn't do anything because there were no fans around last year. But they're going to have a plaque right where you guys come up from the locker room and then get on that plaza level. There's going to be a plaque there honoring Dog. And I know a lot of players have great memories of him. I do too, because he was always there at the North Tunnel as you headed down. It's a great day to be a Bear. Either, you know, give you a handshake when we could, or just a fist pump when maybe we couldn't shake hands. just your thoughts about, you know, Dog and having that plaque at I think a very appropriate area near Memorial Stadium.
I think it means a lot. It means the whole world. You know, Dog was such a, you know, pivotal key to this program and the history of Cal. And, you know, having the plaque, you know, right outside of our locker room when we walk up the stairs, he's got, you know, the fist out, great day to be a Bear. Everyone gives it a little, a knuckle bump, you know, as we pass by on our way to practice and back down to the locker room. I think just what he meant to the program, you know, I was fortunate enough to have him, you know, for a majority of my career. And just being able to tell stories to the young guys who didn't really necessarily, you know, meet him, you know, is truly special, and everyone embraces how much we love Dog. And I think, you know, honoring him this game is very appropriate, and, you know, he's really missed within the Cal community.
Boy, he certainly is. I just miss seeing him coming to practices and during the games. A big loss, but he'll always be part of the Cal family, no question about it. Great thoughts to Chase. We appreciate you being with us tonight. I know it's a little bit late. You've been watching a lot of film, but congratulations on what you've done so far, and certainly best of luck against the Trojans on Saturday.
Thank you.
You bet. Chase Garber, senior quarterback, the Bears against the USC Trojans. We'll be on the air with the Bud Light Tailgate Show beginning at 7 o'clock Saturday night, and the kickoff shortly after 8 o'clock, the Bears against the USC Trojans, final game of the regular season for both squads. So until the broadcast, we appreciate Chase for being with us, Coach Wilcox as well. And as always, I'm Todd McKim, and I'm just going to leave you with what Dog Bud Turner would say. It's a great day to be a Bear.
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the California Golden Bears Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.